Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. And it's a tale of two governors in the local news today. And what a contrast between Governor Cuomo getting all this press as a bipartisan mover and shaker after his State of the State tax cut plans and other proposals yesterday, and Governor Christie, who touts his bipartisan cred, now embroiled in scandal for his aides closing lanes to the George Washington Bridge as political payback to the Democratic mayor of Fort Lee for not endorsing Christie for reelection. Listeners, Governor Christie has scheduled a news conference to respond to all this at 11 o'clock this morning, 1 hour from now. We will cover it. We will begin our coverage here on The Brian Lehrer Show at 10:50 with guests including Senator Barbara Buono, who, of course, was the Democratic nominee against him. Stay with us. Live coverage of the Christie News Conference beginning at 10:50. But our first guest today has a response to Governor Cuomo's State of the State. He is the top Republican in the state, the co-leader of the state Senate, Senator Dean Scalos of Southwest Nassau County, Valley Stream, Rockville Center, Long Beach, the Five Towns, Oceanside, all around there. Senator, thanks very much for coming on again. Happy New Year, and welcome back to WNYC.
Happy New Year to you, and it's great to be on your program again.
And let me first play a clip I heard of you in the news this morning on bipartisanship and ask you if I heard it right. In this clip, are you calling Governor Andrew Cuomo a Republican?
He's a good moderate Republican. You know, we've worked very well together. I'm very proud that we've had three on-time budgets. We're going to do it again this year. There's a spirit of bipartisanship, and that's what folks are looking for.
Did I misunderstand that clip? Did you mean to call Cuomo a Republican there?
I think he's many of his proposals are positive proposals that our Republican conference has put out over the years, cutting broad-based taxes such as corporate taxes, manufacturing taxes, lowering the estate tax in New York State so that we can keep our people here rather than escaping to Florida to avoid estate taxes and income taxes. And really what it's about is making New York State more competitive with other states.
I knew he was seeking bipartisan cred, but I didn't think quite that much. Sounds like you could endorse him for reelection. Is that possible?
Well, that's a long ways away, but I am a Republican, and he is a Democrat. But our responsibility and what we've tried to do in the last 3 years is work together, resolve our differences. People are tired of the bickering that they see in Washington. And really what's occurred is we've put the dysfunction of Albany behind us. We've had three early budgets, which was unheard of in the past. We've actually reduced state spending. We're bringing our Medicaid costs under control. And I think we're moving in the right direction, but we have to be bold if we are going to attract businesses here and provide opportunity for those to have jobs, to have upward opportunity and mobility, and for young people to stay here.
And listeners, if you want to respond to Governor Cuomo's State of the State address yesterday, if you listen to all or part of it, or talk to the Senate Republican leader, Dean Scalos, from Nassau County, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So, okay, on to the content of his and your proposals. And, of course, you mentioned the tax cuts, and this has been the biggest headline, $2 billion in proposed tax cuts, corporate and property and estate taxes and other things. What state programs will you and the governor have to cut to pay for these tax reductions?
Well, right now we're seeing with state revenues, and we're seeing it dramatically in New York City, where it's estimated that right now they have a $2.5 billion and growing surplus, and revenues as the economy is improving in New York State. But what we've done over the years is we've capped the rate of growth in New York State, our budget, at 2% and under. So we're asking local governments to cap their spending through the property tax cap at 2%, and we're doing it on the state level. So the rate of growth of different programs, especially the Medicaid program, which eats up a lot of our revenue, becoming more and more controlled so that we have the opportunity to have tax cuts. Now, of course, we're waiting for the budget message from the governor. That's where the meat is, and that will be coming on, I believe it's January 22nd.
But there is a projected deficit, I believe, for the next fiscal year of over $1 billion. And on top of that, if you're taking another $2 billion out in tax cuts, that wouldn't be made up for by whatever you're saving in Medicaid right at the moment, would it?
Well, it could be. And again, we're anticipating an increase in revenue. Stock market has been booming. Bonuses are a big part of our revenue in New York State through the personal income tax. So as the economy grows, revenue will grow. But we do have to cut taxes to make us competitive with other states so that we can move forward. And also we have to look at regulatory relief for our businesses, mandate relief for our local governments, so that, again, the private sector can grow in New York State.
On the corporate tax cuts and even a zero corporate rate for manufacturers upstate, have things like that really created jobs in New York in the past? We've had enterprise zones and things like that, as you know, and too often companies take their breaks without proving that they've ever really added extra jobs. So why not think that this is already a failed idea?
Well, first of all, cutting taxes is different than different credits. This means you're not going to pay a manufacturing corporate tax in upstate New York, and we hope to expand that throughout the state. Zero is a good number, as the governor said. We also have to look at, and part of our Senate Republican proposal is to eliminate what they call the 18A energy tax, which was imposed by the all-Democrat legislature when Governor Patterson was governor, costing taxpayers and businesses $500 million a year. We have to eliminate that. Manufacturing is energy intensive. And to compete with other states, we have to bring back down the tax costs also.
Is there a company that's a great example of that kind of tax break or tax cut actually creating jobs?
Well, we've had many companies starting to grow in upstate New York because we're starting to send the message. And a lot of this is messaging so that people understand New York State is moving in a different direction, businesses wanting to stay and grow here. We're seeing some of that in on Long Island. Computer Associates, for example, is growing here on Long Island. So a lot of it is changing the tone. Businesses are seeing that government is functioning in New York State, on-time budgets, controlling our spending like families are doing. And I think that sends a message, and we have to continue to send that message, that New York State is open for business.
Another proposal, the way I heard it reported, and correct me if I'm wrong, is to raise the amount exempt from the New York estate tax from $1 million to $5 million, like on the federal level,
right,
and then index it for inflation after that. Do I have that right, including
the
indexing?
That's critically important, but also lower the rate from 16% down to 10%. We see flight of people from Long Island, from throughout the state, to Florida, other states that have no estate taxes. And quite frankly, we want to keep them here. We want to keep them here to spend their money, to invest in this state, rather than going to the warmer weather of Florida, whether it's because of the personal income tax or because of the estate tax.
Are you willing to index the minimum wage increases to inflation, as they do in New Jersey?
Minimum wage, my concern with that is in many businesses, and we want to make sure that we don't hurt our small businesses, indexing it potentially would hurt them. We do have an increase in the minimum wage that just went into effect. We have a three-year agreement that it would eventually go up to $9, and we're really waiting to see what the federal government is doing. Again, you have to be competitive with other states.
But you'll protect tax-exempt estates over $5 million from inflation, but not workers making minimum wage.
Well,
who does that indicate government is for?
It indicates that we want to keep our citizens here so that they invest money and create private sector jobs. That's what it's about. And especially upstate, with our farmers, our small farmers. This is a critically important component. Long Island, too, where we have on the East End a strong agricultural industry, to make sure that our farms can continue from generation to generation.
Are people really moving to Florida in their old age just for the estate taxes? If their families are here, they're not likely to move 1,300 miles away, are they?
Well, you can hop on a plane and be here in 2.5 hours. And, you know, the bottom line is many individuals of, you know, modest means. I mean, it's a nice number, $5 million. But they also want to make sure that the money that they worked hard for over the years will go to their survivors, their children and their grandchildren.
State Senate Republican leader Dean Skelos, my guest on WNYC, reacting to Governor Cuomo's State of the State address yesterday. The governor mentioned Mayor de Blasio's pet issue, universal pre-K, but not, as you know, the mayor's tax proposal for the wealthy in the city to pay for it. Is there another mechanism for funding pre-K statewide that you and the governor are planning to support?
Well, the governor has indicated to me, he hasn't given me the details yet, and he mentioned it in his State of the State, that he feels that with existing state revenues that we'll be able to phase in a statewide pre-K program that includes New York City and really meet what Mayor de Blasio is trying to do is expand pre-K in the city and, quite frankly, throughout the state.
De Blasio says he only wants this tax hike for people in New York City making $500,000 a year or more. So it's about the city income tax only, as you know. So he may seek a home rule message, meaning it's the city's internal business and state lawmakers from elsewhere agree to stay out of it either way. Would you accept that as a way to go forward?
No. You know the issue with that is the state specifically is empowered to make decisions concerning sales tax increases, personal income tax increases at certain localities, because it potentially can impact the entire state. If New York City's economy starts to go downward because of overtaxation, businesses leaving, people leaving, that affects Nassau County, that affects Westchester County, it affects New York City. So New York City is the economic engine of the state. And it's our responsibility as state legislators to make sure that continues. If New York City goes downward the way it did, a number of years ago, that's less revenue for the state. If hedge funds people leave, go to Connecticut, which many have done, less revenue for the state. We're in a very mobile society now, where people do not just have to be located in New York City.
So are you ruling out support for a home rule message? I saw one press report that said you had indicated you might be open to it.
Well, I think right now the case has not been made. The city has a $3 billion, roughly a $3 billion surplus, which was because of the good work of Mayor Bloomberg. The governor has indicated that we can find the revenue in the state budget to do it. So I don't believe in taxing just to tax.
Do you support the governor's tax credit proposal for renters making less than $100,000 a year to go with the property tax break for owners making under $200,000?
Yeah, I mean, I think there has to be a equity and fairness throughout the state. And if you listen to the governor's State of the State, he talked about that we're one state. We're not just upstate or Long Island or the city. We're one state. And we have to treat all regions of the state fairly, whether it's Long Island, New York City, Mid-Hudson, or upstate New York.
Does that mean a landlord within the income limits gets a property tax break and then a renter gets one on the same property? And should rent-stabilized tenants, say, or those in subsidized affordable housing, get tax credits for low rent and take more money out of the public sphere?
Well, this is what we have to review. We have not seen the actual proposal. These will be all the things that we take into consideration as we move forward. But again, you know, the state of the state, like when the president gives his State of the Union, is a review of the past year. It's a vision for the future. But the budget message is really where the meat is, and that's what we wait for on January 22nd.
Listeners, your reactions to Governor Cuomo's State of the State proposals. We have the Republican leader of the state Senate. He's the co-leader with Democrat Jeff Klein of the Bronx, Senator Dean Skelos from Southwest Nassau County. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Vic in Putnam County, you're on WNYC. Hello, Vic.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, Brian. I think Dean Skelos is right that Andy Cuomo has, by his State of the State speech, become a moderate Republican in his timidity, his gifting of the very rich more tax advantage, as has happened since 1972 when income tax brackets in New York were eliminated that cost the state $8 billion a year, in raising the state tax exemption, in failing to do anything really to save low-income people, seniors, and others at risk from obscenely high property taxes in New York, like he did with when he supported the CAPS proposal, and in his extremely timid and limited legalization of medicinal marijuana that has been proven and shown highly efficacious and safe for a myriad of conditions and diseases.
Vic, I'm going to leave it there. You put a lot on the table. Senator, is there anything there that you want to react to? Take your pick.
Well, I think part of, the property tax cap is starting to stabilize tax increases, especially with school districts throughout the state and local governments. We're a huge percentage of the school districts in particular are staying within the cap. I think people are starting to see the effect of that. And now with the governor's proposal, if you stay under the property tax cap, any increase up to the that level will be a credit that you'll get against your income tax in those municipalities. And we're looking at a circuit breaker so that you mentioned the renter's credit. We're looking at a circuit breaker for those who pay property taxes. If it's above a certain percentage of your income, that you will get a credit. So, again, this is all about affordability, making New York State more affordable for our seniors and for our young people and hardworking taxpayers to stay here and make ends meet.
Sam in St. Lawrence County. Hi, Sam. How are things in the Adirondacks today?
Good morning, Brian. This is the worst place on this planet to start any business. I moved here with all my resources trying to create businesses. This is a conduit for drugs flowing into Canada and out of Canada. The judges are so corrupt that Clarkson University, next to Clarkson University, there's a Potsdam court. The court clerk just stole $40,000 from the court's coffer. And the judges are involved. One judge was picked up for snorting cocaine from the bench, and he was replaced by another corrupt judge. The workers' comp per employee per year cost me $8,000. So I don't know what the senator is talking about. He's full of baloney. Do something about this impoverished area. Clean up the judges. Put them in jail. Let's see. Let's see some action, not talk.
Sam, thank you very much. What about ethics? And we all know corruption is a problem in New York State. And we just saw a Moreland Commission report back to Governor Cuomo. There was not a lot of emphasis on that in the State of the State with respect to ethics proposals, whether it's public financing for campaigns, which I know you oppose, which didn't get through the legislature last year because of state Senate opposition, or some of the other things that were in the Moreland Commission report.
Well, we're prepared to negotiate with the governor and the assembly ethics reform. Our position in the Senate has been opposed to taxpayer. I'd rather call it taxpayer financing of elections. We estimate that our fiscal experts in the Senate estimate that it could cost up to $200 million a year for taxpayer financing, so that you can get so you can then pay for the robocalls you hate, for the emails you don't like, and quite frankly, supporting candidates that you don't agree with philosophically.
But the governor's larger point, and he actually called into this show on the day after the Moreland Commission released its report to talk about this, was to somehow, whether it's through that mechanism or another one, get some of the big special interest money to stop having so much extra weight in political campaigns and in lobbying, whether it's closing the LLC loophole, which lets people set up kind of sham LLCs so they can evade the other campaign limits, or other things. Do you agree that that's the overarching problem, and have a proposal to get at it?
The issue, Brian, is, and the governor has been very successful in his fundraising, $30 million, Billy Joel, at $50,000 a person. But the issue is the Supreme Court of the United States, through recent decisions, have moved away from limiting the amount people that can contribute to entities, independent expenditure groups, labor unions. We saw in the last election cycle that labor unions in New York State put hundreds of thousands, if not millions, against some of our candidates throughout the state. George Soros's family put hundreds of thousands of dollars against different Republican candidates.
So, yeah, it goes on both sides of the aisle. Don't you want to stop it?
Well, the Supreme Court has said independent expenditure groups are here to stay. So if you're going to compete with those entities, and many times you don't even know who those entities are, you need the funding that's necessary to compete. And again, in New York City, we saw taxpayer financing. Vito Lopez, former assemblyman, accused of sexual harassment, left the assembly, ran for a councilmatic seat in a primary, was given $80,000 of taxpayer dollars.
He lost.
And that's wrong. So, again, the polling that we've done indicates that the public, when you ask them, do you think that's the best way to spend $200 million, the answer is a resounding no. They'd rather see that money spent on education, on pre-K, on our infrastructure, or on tax cuts.
So how are you going to get this corruption problem under control?
You know, somehow, first of all, a number of individuals have already been indicted. They've been convicted. They've gone to jail. We established a new ethics reform 2 years ago, which is just coming into full focus in terms of disclosure, in terms of conflicts of interest. The governor called that the best ethics reform legislation in the history of the country, and we can do more. We will look to do more, but public financing, taxpayer financing of elections, I just think it's the wrong way to go and the wrong way to spend $200 million.
A couple of other things real quick. I appreciate you giving us so much time
morning.
Dean Skelos, the leader of the Republicans in the New York State Senate after Governor Cuomo's State of the State yesterday. Real quick, the governor wants 16- and 17-year-olds who commit crimes to be treated as juveniles under the law, not adults. New York is one of only two states that treat 16-year-olds as adults. Do you support that change?
You know what? I want to talk to some of our local DAs and some of our criminal justice experts, and then we'll make a decision on that.
So you may be open to that.
I may be open to that.
And yes. The governor mentioned the women's equality package that failed last year, and the sticking point seems to be a provision to guarantee Roe versus Wade protections at the state level if the Supreme Court were to reverse Roe in Washington. Are you not prepared to promise New York women that choice?
First of all, if the Supreme Court reversed Roe versus Wade, which I think is highly unlikely, the abortion laws would still not change in New York State. So people know in New York State that abortion laws where you're pro-choice or pro-life are not going to change in New York State. And New York State provides the most abortions than any other state in the nation. And the issue is not really Roe versus Wade here. Is the proposal that had been put forward by the governor and many of the other groups would allow late-term partial birth abortion up until the point of birth, and also would allow for non-doctors to provide abortions. Now, the 10-point plan that the governor proposed, the assembly refused to take up each part individually. The governor sent the Senate the 10 bills last year individually. The Senate passed 9 of them. The assembly refused to pass any of them. We passed bills on human trafficking, equal pay for women, the whole thing. So I think we've moved in the right direction in the Senate, and we'd hope the Assembly would join us in passing at least 9 out of the 10 points.
And last thing, not in the governor's speech was any reference to fracking, and there was a pretty big protest outside by fracking opponents. How long can the governor go without making a decision about fracking in New York State one way or the other?
Well, he should make it hopefully soon. I know the people of the southern tier in New York State, depressed area, they're looking for fracking to spur on their economy.
There's a lot of debate out there
area,
about that.
You go across the border to Pennsylvania, and the economy's booming.
Anything else you want to say?
It's great to be with you. I'm looking forward to a great year. We've shown how New York State can function on a bipartisan basis. I've worked closely with Jeff Klein in our coalition government. And again, what people want are opportunity and bipartisanship, and that's what we're going to continue to provide in New York State.
On Jeff Klein, if I could just follow up for a minute. You know, we've had people from his district in the Bronx saying, why am I supporting a Democrat who empowers Republican Dean Skelos to lead the state Senate with him and be able to block bills from coming to the floor if the Democrats have the majority and the numbers in the Senate? What do you think the people of the Bronx get from this arrangement when they're probably overwhelmingly Democratic?
Well, what they do get is fairness. They get bipartisanship. When we had an all-Democrat government under David Paterson, there were 124 new taxes and fees, $14 billion in taxes, a MTA mobility tax, which kills small businesses, many of those businesses located in the Bronx. So I think we've worked carefully. We've ended the dysfunction in Albany, and that's what people want. They want results. It's not just about Democrat or Republicans. It's good, positive results, and that's what our coalition has shown you can get.
But you do have that power, right? Let's say that Klein, who I think would support a home rule message for a city tax for pre-K, wants to bring that to the floor and has the Democratic votes, you can still stop it, right, under the arrangement
you
have?
Yes, we can. But again, you know, there are bills. Jeff was very strong on the Governor's SAFE Act. That came to a vote in the Senate. People voted their conscience one way or the other.
The Gun Act.
So, it's the bipartisanship. It's keeping things in the middle. People are looking for moderation in government, not either extreme. And quite frankly, they don't want New York State to move in the direction that we see in Washington, D.C., where there's a failure of leadership and chaos and dysfunction.
All right. Senator Dean Skelos from Southwest Nassau County, Valley Stream, Rockville Center, Long Beach, the Five Towns, Oceanside, and the co-leader of the state Senate from the Republican side. Thanks again. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Have a great new year.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Reminder that coming up in about 20 minutes at 10:50, we will begin our coverage of Governor Christie's news conference in response to George Washington Bridgegate. And you know about all of this breaking. We will cover Governor Christie's response. He will be asked, certainly, what did he know, when did he know it, about his aides closing lanes to the George Washington Bridge as political payback to the Democratic mayor of Fort Lee. Our coverage begins at 10:50 with Barbara Buono, who ran against Christie for governor, obviously from the Democratic side. Her name has come up in all of this because the political payback was to the mayor of Fort Lee for endorsing Barbara Buono. He's a Democrat. She's a Democrat. So we'll get into all of that starting at 10:50 in the governor's news conference scheduled for 11 o'clock. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.